Last week, I ended my homily with a question. We were looking at all of the different covenants of the Old Testament, the different ones with Adam and Eve, with Noah, Moses, Abraham, and we were talking about how each of them had a sign. Each of them had something that God gave along with the covenant to be a reminder of it, to be a moment where it was celebrated again, to enter again into that grace and that salvation. The question was, where is this present in the new covenant with Christ? Or is it not present? Is this the only covenant that does not have a sign given by God with it? As Catholics, we believe it's actually what we're just celebrating now, that in this liturgy, the Eucharist, the memorial of the Last Supper, we are entering into the sign given by Christ as the preeminent sign of the new covenant. It was, of course, given at the last thing he did before going to the garden to enter into his arrest and passion and death, that he instituted this sacrament, this celebration of bread and wine that he declares to be his body and blood. We look in our reading today at how kind of shocked the crowd is by his speaking. You're speaking of himself not just as the bread of life, but that he will give his flesh. But when they challenge him on this, he really only intensifies and makes more visceral the proclamation of the need to receive his body and his blood, his flesh and his blood, saying it again and again in different forms, even listing it as something that's necessary for salvation, to have eternal life. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Listening, this is something essential. And how would this then happen? How would this happen for the people at that time? How would this happen for people of all time? If this is a new and eternal covenant, how will throughout the ages people be able to receive this food that he says is essential, this sign that he says is necessary for eternal life? We believe here in the sacrament that what happens is there is a real change in the elements of the bread and the wine, that they begin as just merely bread and wine sitting there on the back table, nothing different, but that after the consecration, they're different. They become truly the body and blood of Christ while retaining the outward appearance of bread and wine, what we see, what we taste, what we feel. That we know that the way that things reveal, the physical reveals the substance underneath, that the body reveals the person, the human body reveals the person, but that in this case, there's a change that happens at that deeper level of what's revealed. That now these outward signs that once revealed the presence of bread and wine now reveal the presence of the body and blood of Christ, or truly the true person of Christ, the fullness of Christ present in these two different species, as we say, or appearances. That for us, this is an essential and central teaching of our Catholic faith, a distinctive teaching of our faith. That's something that is, as the crowds in the gospel today notice, kind of remarkable or even difficult to believe in a sense. That we might ask then, if it's not a widely accepted belief outside of the church, if it's often seen as maybe something that developed later, when did it develop? When did this massive change happen? When we went from a symbolic understanding that was, you know, if that was what was taught by Christ to the apostles, when did it become such a radically different understanding of a true presence? If we look and we read early writers, I think especially Justin Martyr, writing, you know, following that generation after the apostles, we see that it's actually there in those writings, that the breakdown would have had to have happened in that generation taught by the apostles themselves. The apostles would have had to have failed to teach a very central thing about the sacrament, failed to teach that it was just merely symbolic and not a real change. That this doesn't make sense to me. You know, as I've studied it and learned more, it's become more certain for me or more clear for me that this is the tradition, Christian tradition from the beginning. That it would, in fact, in lots of ways, be easier if it wasn't true. It'd be easier if this was just a symbol. It wouldn't ask as much of me. It wouldn't ask as much of you. Coming here, we would just be coming for a memorial of something that happened long ago. Wouldn't ask a lot from us. We wouldn't have the same need to prepare, to preserve and guard these elements and do all these things, these sacraments. It would just be a very simple thing. But on the other hand, you know, it would only offer us a memory of something that happened long ago, rather than making present to us again that grace of the covenant. That in some way, if it asks more of us, it also promises more. That Christ wants to feed and to nourish us. He wants us to encounter this power. That he calls us to a life of heroic love for God and neighbor. To be drawn more and more to conquer that selfishness and sin within us. Not to take that easy path, not to just stay at the level of appearance, but to enter deeply into his truth. And that if this is his call, it's something that's really beyond just human power. I think a lot of us, I know myself at times, we really rely on our own strength. We rely on our own understanding, our own power, our own willpower. But that this is not what Christ calls us to do. He calls us to rely on his food. The first reading and the second reading today from our scripture readings talk about the difference between wisdom and folly, or the wise and the foolish. And it talks about both in regards, it mentions what they're eating, what they're consuming, what's nourishing them. That the difference, in a sense, is what are they, you know, the wise nourishing themselves with, what are the foolish nourishing themselves with. That Christ says, you know, your ancestors ate and still died. This is the bread that will those who eat will live forever. That we want that everlasting life. We want a power within us. That we have the ability to encounter here something as profound and powerful as we can possibly encounter. That for us, often we don't maybe encounter it, but that part of that flows from our kind of our preparation, our awareness of who we're encountering. It's easy to stay at the surface level. It's easy just to see what we see with our eyes and not to look deeper. But that it rewards and it nourishes us to go deeper, to be more profound. My own life, this was my experience coming through college, was a more profound encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. I'm still a work in progress, but I can see that effect within me, the changes that when I really enter into this prayer happen within me. Christ is truly present here. It's not just a symbol, not just a memory of something long ago, that he proclaims this. This is his flesh and his blood. This is him with us today. Can we encounter him? Can we let this be the food that nourishes us to eternal life?